it down. And that's fine most of the time. But unfortunately, that can spill into my Bible reading. That's my confession. don't get me wrong, I read the Bible. I do read bits of the Bible a lot, or have done, through Word for the Days or Ollie's devotional every day. Get that, everyone? Not knocking it, Ollie. It's amazing. It's just when you read it in bite-sized chunks, it's very easy to lose the context. So maybe 6-7 weeks ago, I had a real nudging in my spirit to get cracking on and reading the Bible in big chunks. It was before you asked me to give to come up with my own topic, so I was happy with that. So I did. I started reading it. And then honestly, within 20 minutes, half an hour, God spoke to me and revealed something through what I was reading. And it was just so exciting to have that happen. And so since then, I've been reading it every day in big chunks, expecting God to speak. So, I mean, there's a bit of an encouragement for us all straight away. Get into reading the Bible, because God uses it and God speaks. And he did it, like, with me instantly. So I really encourage everyone to, if you're reading it in these bite-sized chunks, if it's meant to be the daily bread, what we're getting there is the crusts. So once you start eating it, you're getting the full loaf. okay, so the thing that... I don't know. Go on. So the thing that God really spoke to me when I was reading it was when I got to Hebrews 11. And so what I want to speak to you today about is inspiring faith. So through my bite-sized reading, as I've done before, and I haven't read it in its entirety for ages, the only thing I'd be able to properly quote is, faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. That's a great thing to remember. It's brilliant. It talks about there are things beyond what we can physically see. And Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing to remember. It's a really encouraging verse. So there's no problem with that. But when I read it in context in the whole chapter, it suddenly became amazing. So through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. So then Paul goes on to talk about loads of different Old Testament figures and the miracles that God worked through them. So I'm going to go quite quick now. Enoch skipped death by being taken up to heaven. Noah listened to God and built the ark. Abraham left his home without knowing where he was going by faith. Sarah had a child even though she was barren. This child being the start of a nation with so many people that like stars in the sky and sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. By faith, Joseph said that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Paul talks about Moses, the parting of the Red Sea, the walls of Jericho, Rahab not being destroyed with the rest of Jericho. Paul realized how much he was going on because he actually said, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. I don't know how to say that one. Jephthah. David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They had placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and had their backs cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. I'm sorry, everyone, it gets worse before it gets better. happy Sunday. Some died by stoning, some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. And I'm going to switch to the Message translation for the end bit, because I just really love the way it's phrased. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. And there's Hebrews 11. Okay. So when I read that, it actually made me laugh. Just because Paul couldn't shut himself up. He was just so inspired by the legacy that these people left behind through their faith. And so it just made me think of someone like getting on a topic that they're really passionate about, and you're just stood there like, okay. And they just don't shut up. That's what it made me feel like. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, what even is faith? Like, what is this thing that people are doing through their faith? Because if all these people are doing amazing things by it, I want to know what it is. So I did the proper preacher thing, and I looked it up in the original Greek. Thank you. So it's the Greek word pistis, which means persuaded or come to trust. So God's divine persuasion is how someone has described faith for believers. That is how we respond to God letting us know what he wants to do. So we also know that faithfulness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22, 23. And it's not something that can be produced by ourselves. So that means that faith is not the same as belief or confidence. It involves confidence, but it comes from God's will, and it's something that grows as the fruit of the Spirit becomes more evident in our lives. So with that like explanation of what faith is, we can then go back to the reading, and we can think about it and what it means in terms of growing that faith in our own lives. So firstly, I think that we should be looking for examples of inspiring faith and be inspired by them. So the verse that sums this up for me is, although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. So, yeah, I just think this is really urging us to be looking around for examples of to others and how they responded by faith to God's purposes in their lives. Like, Paul went like really over the top in describing it. Like, yeah, that person just going on and on about it and we're just there smiling. That's how over the top he was about this. To make his point. These are inspiring people that did amazing things through the faith that God gave them. So reading the Bible, as I've discovered, afresh all over again, is surely one of the best ways to do this. I mean, that is literally what Paul did. He was just talking about the figures from the Old Testament, from the scriptures that he'd read. These are stories of people, of God speaking, people obeying, and then promises being outworked. And it's just amazing. And I think it's something that's really easy to take for granted, but it is actually that simple, that the Bible's there and it's full of examples of faith that can encourage and inspire us. There are even Bible apps that read it to us when we feel tired. And God will speak and use it. So I read through Acts recently, as I've been looking to keep up that Bible reading momentum for myself. And it was just amazing to see the work that the apostles did and the sacrifices they made for their faith. They saw miracles happen. They saw dead rise, blind men see, and miraculously escaping a prison in the case of Peter, or choosing to stay in prison and witness to the jailer in the case of Paul. And interesting enough, Paul witnessed to the jailer. The jailer got to know God, got to know Jesus. They went home, back to his house. He witnessed to his whole family. His whole family became Christians, and they baptized them straight away. And that's amazing. That's through one simple act of faith, and suddenly a whole family's like lives are changed. And it's just amazing. And the apostles did all this because they were listening to God and for his will in all the situations they found themselves in. And whenever these miracles happened, they always made sure that it was God who was praised and not them. They always passed the glory on. And that's what's been inspiring me, that these were just normal people. And they told us this on so many different occasions. And yet God was able to use them for his miraculous purposes. Just like he can use you and me. There's no difference. And you know, one of the best things about being part of church is we don't have to look far for modern day examples of living by faith. Just look at what's happened with Treasure Seekers. It's gone from a simple Monday night disco to an organization that is like seeing lives changed. It's in a position to like affect change at a different level to anything that could have been imagined a few years ago. And they're seeing lonely and isolated people find family and hopeless lives finding purpose and meaning. I mean, that's amazing. And that's all because people took steps of obedience to God's calling and just following it. And then it's built and built and built, and God's blessed it. And because they know they couldn't have done without God, it's God's work. It's not ours. It's not anyone's. It's God who's done it all. It's the same with think about the international ministry that's going on here. That's grown from, like, my dad going out to Malawi to an international ministry in the thousands of people across, like, loads of different nations. And that is literally, again, down to that faithful obedience to what God's saying and listening to God's will in all those situations and passing the glory on to God where it's due, and then he blesses that, and then it grows and it grows and it grows. It's all down to how amazing God is, and we can be inspired by that, and we should be inspired by that. So when I was thinking about all this, I think it just comes down to that one job we have to do, which is just listening to God's divine persuasion. It's that, what is he saying to do in these situations? And then taking those simple acts of obedience and actually doing it and trusting God to work out the bigger picture. That's the inspiration we can take from all these things. Which I think then leads us into the second point I want to make, which is, I think we need to be an inspiration to others as well. I don't think it's any good just being inspired by others and being like, oh, that's good, yay, feeling good. I think we are called to be that inspiration to others around us. And that's an incredibly simple thing to say, and it's often very hard to actually do. But a lot of living by faith is, again, those small acts of obedience. It's like the parable of the talents. Use what you're given, and God will give us more to use. If we feel he's asking for a small act of obedience, I mean, maybe it's inviting someone to church, and then we do that, and it works out, it builds us up for that next challenge. And suddenly, those little things that we thought were a stretch suddenly become the norm, and then God can present us with these larger acts of obedience. And then, so when I was thinking about this, all I could think was, I don't want to leave all those really cool stories to other people. I want to be, thank you, I just felt an urgency to want to be part and be open to God's purposes in my own life. We're all intended to be part of this legacy of faith. That's what Paul said. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. I mean, that's amazing. Abraham's work of faith isn't complete without treasure seekers doing what they're doing. We're all part of it together. Like, people millennia ago are doing the same thing we are. And it all comes together, and God uses it all together. I mean, that's incredible. But the important part of all this is sharing what God's doing in and through our lives. Because we can't be an inspiration if we're not going to talk about it with people. But particularly, like, let's be sharing with each other, with our church family. We're not meant to be doing this alone and just seeing ourselves grow. I mean, in fact, I'm not even sure that we would see ourselves grow without sharing with each other, because I think it's so important. An example is, we had our first Connect group meeting back after the summer, a few months ago. And we went around the group and we shared what God had been saying to us each, like, just for 1 month. It was 1 month we hadn't met. But we went round and talked about what God had been saying. Every single person had something to share. Even if it was something quite small, everyone had something to share. So it just showed that God is speaking and moving amongst us, and in ways we might not have thought of, just if we hadn't been able to share that with each other. So I went home absolutely buzzing. Don't know about anyone else who was there. No, just me? Yeah, Joe was. you're already at home, so... So if we're doing that on a regular basis, that must be a good thing. It must be an encouraging and uplifting thing. Even the next meeting, we had a time of worship together, and we allowed time and space for God to speak to us. And throughout this time, I had the words, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord," in my head. And it was really annoying me, mainly because I thought it was so cheesy and obvious, it wasn't worth sharing. Because it is quite cheesy and obvious. If we're waiting on God to speak, and I'm thinking, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord," it's quite cheesy and obvious, but it just stuck in my head for too long. So I was like, I feel like I need to share this. So I did. And as I shared, Mike got, like, where's Mike? Can't see him. Never mind, doesn't matter. There he is. Mike got all Mike, Mike suddenly picked up his Bible and it was already open to the scripture that that was from. And if I hadn't have shared what I had been thinking in my mind, even though it seemed really small and silly, we wouldn't have been so encouraged by the fact that Mike had already got there, because he was umming and ahhing about sharing it as well. But because we both had that, God was able to encourage us and say, yeah, this is what I want you to know. Strength, you're going to wait on me, I'm going to fill you with strength. And that was so encouraging to us as a group, that God is speaking. But we need to have that courage to just risk feeling a bit silly, I guess. If we feel God giving us those nudges to do things that are outside of our comfort zones, maybe just take that deep breath, feel the fear, and do it anyway, as I've heard said before. That's what I'm doing this morning, everyone. I took a nice deep breath. if we do that, we've got some amazing opportunities to be like real inspirations to others. If we take those risks and share what we feel God is saying and acting on what we feel he's calling us to do, the more we do it, the better we get, and the easier it becomes to discern God's will from our own. And it really is. It honestly gets so much easier. So the third insight I had while reading this passage is that we can trust God for the outcome, even though we might not be the ones who get to see his promises outworked. That's a scary point. So Paul made a point of saying that a lot of these Hall of Famers, as they're sometimes referred to, these massive Old Testament giants of the faith, didn't actually get to see God's promises worked out in their own lifetimes. Each one of these people of faith died not yet having a hand in what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for their old country, they could have gone back at any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. You know, that's an amazing attitude to have to God's promises, that we can just sit back and trust. I mean, not sit back, that's the wrong word. We can trust that he's got it all in hand as we do what he's called us to do. We know that God is proud of us for being able to see what he's promised off in the distance and just wait for it and know that it's going to happen. Abraham took this to like the next level when God asked him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. He was even told by God that Isaac is the son through which your descendants will be counted. But Abraham took him up to the altar ready to do what God asked him to do. And his faith was such that, I mean, I'm assuming here, but his faith was such that he was pretty much assuming that God's going to just have to bring him back from the dead because God's promised this. So I'm ready to sacrifice knowing that God's going to have to do a miracle. That's my reading into there. Fortunately for Abraham, God stopped him. But that mindset of just absolute trust is so humbling and incredibly challenging, I think. So how can we see that increase of faith in our own lives? So I've talked about all this other stuff, be an inspiration, be inspired, trust God, but how do we actually see this growth happen? So I think that faith isn't something we can manufacture out of nowhere. It's grown, so let's not force it. As I said earlier, faithfulness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So therefore, it's going to grow and develop if we have the Spirit of God in us. We see the fruit grow more the closer we get to God's will for our lives and try to live like Jesus. Acting well in those small moments is really the key, I think, to seeing that growth, which is why those small acts of obedience are so important to growing that mountain-moving faith that I'm assuming we all want to be able to have. If we don't take those risks or obey, then it's like expecting to grow muscles without ever lifting anything heavy. It's just not going to happen. We have to use it to grow it. So it's hard to go wrong with the advice that Paul offered the Colossian church. He said, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. So building our lives on Jesus will enable us to see our faith grow. So when I've been writing this, I was challenged to think about how my own faith has grown over the years and those steps of faith in the journey that God has had me on. And I thought I'd want to share my own personal experience of one particular thread of faith in my own life. So I'm going to start over here. This is a scary step, by the way, moving away from the podium. But it'll help, I think. We'll try. So I grew up in the church, and I was maybe 14 or 15, and then I was challenged to join a connect group, join a small group, as we called them back then. Didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I'm technically gifted. I can do a lot of technical things. So I thought, I'll join the audio team. So I did. Took a step. You see where I'm going with this. I took that step and I did it. Went along to the small group meetings and it was great. God built me in my faith. It got me to talk with people that are older than me, because before that I was just in my youth group. And, you know, but that being in an environment with people who are older and more mature was really helpful. I was able to learn skills. I was able to learn the audio desk stuff and really grow in that and really help. It was amazing being able to serve my church and to help encourage these times of worship that we have together. And that was amazing. So God really grew me there and I was able to serve him and it was amazing. A few years after that, when I was about 18, I think, I was approached to ask if I'd want to lead the audio group. And my first thought was, I'm way too young for this. And I was thinking, I don't know how to lead. What's that? But I trusted that the people who asked me knew what they were talking about and could see it in me, even if I couldn't see it myself. So I said yes, took another step of faith. And through that step, God taught me how to lead, how to encourage people, how to do all sorts of stuff. I can't remember what else he's taught me, but I'm really hoping through that step as well, it encouraged other people who are in that group. It grew them in their faith in some way. God was able to use me for that. It built my confidence yet again. So that's all really good stuff. So I'm stuck here. Then a few years later, when I was maybe 21, I had a nudging to maybe learn guitar, because I was great at Guitar Hero, still am. I think, haven't played it in years. But I had a nudging to learn guitar. So I bought the guitar and I learned how to play. And it was for no other reason than I wanted to be able to, you know, learn something and do something for myself. But God grew me in that. And then eventually, it was another nudging to join the Engage team. And I ended up on the rota, which meant another step of faith, because that meant I had to get up on stage and do it, even though at the time I could barely play like more than four chords. Literally, honestly, I could play like power chords. But I took that step, said yes, and through that, God was able to grow me in confidence and my abilities, and he taught me how to listen to where he leads during a time of worship. And I think that's the most important thing when you're up here, because I hate being on stage. Like, I truly hate it. When I first came up here, like when I started playing guitar, my legs were shaking and I was sweating and it was disastrous. Well, at least I felt it. I'm good at hiding it. But God grew me in that confidence to be okay with being on stage. Even if I still don't like it, I'm at least okay with it now. And yeah, he grew me in loads of different ways, like discerning his spirit and where he's leading and all that type of stuff. So then a few years after that, Bean asked me if I wanted to join his band and go around the country and do stuff, like from time to time. Don't really know where we've gone. We've gone all over. But I said yes, and I took the other step over to here. So and that, taking that step, was a next level in terms of that development. Just because playing at church is amazing, it's great, but this is like playing in front of your family. So after a while, it's very easy to feel comfortable because this is your family and that's fine. Going off and doing stuff with Bean meant playing in front of strangers. Like, these are people I just don't know. So it meant having to deal with a whole new level of insecurities and confidence issues and all of that. But God grew me and still is growing me. But I was able to go to these places, and through that, I was able to see the work that God's doing all over the place. And it's so encouraging and amazing. And it makes me like excited to come back here and be like, make sure what we're doing is like where God is leading us. It's really exciting. And he also, again, grew me further in being able to listen to where he's leading and listening to his will for times of worship and all that type of stuff, when to play, when not to, all of that type of stuff. So a few years of that, in the summer, my dad asked me if I wanted to think about preaching. That meant another step over here. So when he said that, I literally just went, yeah. Like, honestly, it was that casual because, and I don't think it would have been if it wasn't for all those steps there, because I'd come all that way. And now, obviously, I'm on the holy side of stage, which is why we have the worship leader here. So I made sure Rose stood here today for that bit. So yeah, I wouldn't have been that up for saying yes to that without all of those previous smaller steps that led me to there. I don't know what God's going to grow in me through this, but I know that he does do it. And it's like, I'm going to come back here now. Sorry, I need my notes. I just snorted into the microphone. It's fine. So, I mean, my question is, what is there that God's calling, is asking you to say yes to? What is there? What deeper waters is he calling you to? I'd like to encourage you to just try taking those steps. If it's a crazy one, ask people around you for, you know, their guidance, because we're not meant to be lone wolfing it. But take those steps. Just trust God that he's not going to leave you alone when you take it. When we're at our weakest, he's at his strongest. And when I said yes to a lot of those, I didn't have the abilities or skills or anything that I needed in those roles. But because I said yes and took those steps, God was able to grow that. And suddenly I was able to do those roles. But it was God doing the growing. It wasn't me. So, yeah, take those steps of faith. Embrace being in that legacy of faith that Paul says we're a part of. And then come tell us about what God's calling you to do so we can be inspired by it. Because that's what we're meant to do for each other. Let's pray. So, Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to all of us. I pray that you open our ears and our hearts to hear you more clearly. I thank you that we can trust you when we feel you call us to something. And I pray that even this morning, right now, you give people here dreams and purposes that you want to see fulfilled. I pray for the courage to take risks where we feel you're asking us to take them. And I thank you that you don't leave us or make any mistakes where you call us. And I thank you for the grace you show when we don't listen. Thank you that we get to be part of an amazing legacy. And I pray that you build up our faith so that we can do more for your glory. Amen.